If you watched the last two Democratic presidential candidate debates, you may have heard several of them refer to something called carbon capture as part of their climate plans. It's an old idea that's getting a new look. In lay terms, it basically means sucking carbon out of the atmosphere to help keep the global average temperature rise below the United Nations target of 2 degrees Celsius. Joining us to explain all of this is Gianna Amador, co-founder and managing director of Carbon 180, a nonprofit group promoting carbon removal technology. Hello, Gianna.
Hi, Tonya.
Well, let's start by defining what we're talking about here. What is carbon capture and how does it work?
Yeah, it depends really what you mean about carbon capture. There are two main types. One is point source capture, and the other is capture directly from the air or from the atmosphere. When we're thinking about traditional carbon capture, or CCS, we're thinking about point source capture. So that's capturing carbon directly from the smokestack during either energy production or during an industrial process.
Let's talk about both of those, but let's talk about the second one, where we're capturing it from the atmosphere, because that's what we've been hearing a lot about over the last few months from folks who are running for president. Let's talk about how this technology is currently deployed, this atmospheric carbon capture.
Yeah, definitely. So atmospheric carbon capture, or what's traditionally called direct air capture, is a nascent technology that's being developed today. There are about 5 companies across the globe who are developing this technology and deploying first-of-a-kind projects. This is really exciting because the climate scientists at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that direct air capture technology, along with other carbon removal solutions, are critical for fighting climate change.
Okay, you mentioned that there are two types. The other type is taking carbon out of the air at coal plant smokestacks. How hard is it, though, to pull carbon out of the air elsewhere? As you mentioned, this technology that is being developed as we speak, is it being done on any meaningful scale? We know these 5 companies, but could we see it across industry?
Yeah, definitely. So we can actually, it's much more difficult to capture carbon from the air. The concentration of carbon dioxide in the air compared to other particles is about 4%. And when you're capturing from a smokestack, that's much more around 70 to 80%. So it's a lot harder to capture carbon from the air. And so these entrepreneurs are working on solving the thermodynamic issue of getting that carbon from the air. We can actually see a lot of these solutions deployed at scale. For example, Climeworks in Switzerland is capturing carbon through their technology and actually feeding it to a nearby greenhouse to help grow those plants.
Okay, let's talk a little more about that, where this carbon actually goes.
Yeah, so the carbon actually can be reused in many places, and we do use pure streams of CO2 across our economy today. That's in for things like beverage carbonation. When you open your Coca-Cola bottle, we actually had to pump CO2 during the packaging process. And so a lot of these direct air capture companies are turning to those uses of CO2 to help commercialize their technology. But what we're really excited about at Carbon 180 is what we call carbon tech. And that's the conversion of CO2 or other forms of carbon into valuable products like cements, plastics, fuels, consumer goods, carbon fiber, you name it. Carbon 180 recently put out a report that assessed the total available market size for converting carbon into valuable products. And we estimated that that market size was over $1 trillion in the U.S. and over $6 trillion globally. So that economic opportunity is really exciting when we're able to pair growing the economy, creating jobs, while also solving the climate crisis.
One of the arguments, though, about this is that it's not cheap.
It's a really good point. High costs today do affect our ability to deploy these solutions, but every new technology starts out as expensive, and we're able to bring these solutions down learning curves as we do more research development, more deployment, and achieve economies of scale. It's something we've done before, and it's something we're going to have to do for these solutions as well.
There are several legislative efforts underway to get the government to subsidize carbon capture technology for fossil fuel industries. But some environmentalists say that it's a way for politicians to forestall meaningful changes to energy and transportation systems. Do you believe this is a fair point?
I believe that's a fair point. However, I still believe that carbon capture on traditional point sources is an important climate solution because there are countries and localities who are still building traditional fossil fuel energy plants today. And so we need to be thinking about using CCS as a tool to negate those emissions and actually help us achieve our climate goals.
That's an interesting point because this discussion has been, for many, a national discussion. But you're saying globally, when we talk about fossil fuels, many nations are very dependent on fossil fuels, and it's an industry that's growing. So taking the idea of carbon capture as a way to reduce emissions, you're saying is a very viable option that we should be looking at on a global scale.
Absolutely. And I think it's also really important from an industrial perspective as well. So when we think of carbon capture traditionally, we think about it on coal-fired power plants. But we have ways to decarbonize the electricity sector through renewable energy. But we have very few ways to decarbonize the industrial sector. So when we produce cement, when we produce steel and concrete, those processes emit a lot of carbon. And so we can actually use carbon capture on those sources as well. And those are areas that are much more difficult to decarbonize and actually cost a lot more money.
You mentioned using carbon capture technology and then fueling products using that CO2 in products. But there are other places that we're talking about it going, like storing it underground. Can you explain that process?
Yeah, definitely. So when we capture carbon from a smokestack or through direct air capture, we get a pure stream of CO2. And what we then do is compress the CO2. We often transport it to a sequestration site, which is located nearby, and pump that CO2 underground.
How long can that process go on? I'm thinking about how we deal with plastics, for instance. We recycle plastics. We try to find ways to reuse it, but ultimately, storing over long periods of time really takes up space. This is a layman talking here. I'm just thinking about over time, if we used an underground source to be able to pump CO2 there to store it, how viable that is in the long term?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the U.S. particularly has almost unlimited ability for geologic sequestration. That's not true for other countries, but we do have basically a ton of pore space that we could put CO2 into the ground. And it's actually something that is naturally occurring and that we traditionally tap into today. So unlike plastics, it's not, you know, us putting something in a landfill that wasn't there originally, but it actually is very in line and in tune with the geology today.
During her remarks at the UN last week, the Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg mentioned carbon capture in passing. She was talking about cutting emissions in half in 10 years and how it would only give the world about a 50% chance of staying below that 1.5 degrees Celsius global average temperature we were talking about. Let's listen.
They also rely on my generation sucking hundreds of billions of tons of your CO2 out of the air with technologies that barely exist. So a 50% risk is simply not acceptable to us, we who have to live with the consequences.
What are your thoughts on her criticism about this technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism. We are nowhere near the scale we need to be for on carbon removal solutions today, whether that's carbon capture or capture in other forms through natural processes. And I think it's a fair criticism, but we need to invest in the research and deployment of these solutions so that we can actually get them to scale in the next 15 years. I think we should absolutely move faster, deploy the solutions we already have, and develop the solutions for tomorrow.
That's Gianna Amador, co-founder and managing director of Carbon 180. That's a nonprofit promoting carbon removal technology. Thank you, Gianna.
Thank you.